This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Make sure this Sunday you get things started at 12:30, Kevin. We are going to have
pre-game
show. Hey, man, you know what? You got official pre-game show as well. So
yeah,
just turn it on.
That was
on.
Us before. Hey, we got replaced by someone better.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that. The 7 to 9 a.m. show also this Sunday. Make sure you're listening because I'm listening. Featuring in the second hour. It's a two-hour show. In the second hour, Kevin and Jeff Kavanaugh host and talk about depression and, you know, going through life, man.
All kinds of mental ailments that people might have and stigmas around them. I'm kind of proud about all of that. So if you get the chance to listen, I would greatly appreciate it.
But we got big time guests on Sunday's pregame show. It's the official pregame show of the Dallas Cowboys. The only place that you can find the Dallas Cowboys game is right here on 105.3 The Fan. And there are going to be tons of people to listen for. Joe Buck, man, is going to be on talking Cowboys football as things get rolling. All right, Kevin, let's I told you yesterday, I care not about Antonio Brown's helmet. Right. However, everything has changed. And this
could you feel the beginning of the change yesterday when I told you about the fine and Instagram drama?
Okay. Yes. And that was where I was like, okay, everything I thought about him from, and here's the moment. The blonde mustache was a moment of, okay, because everybody that dyes their hair at some point, they got you know, some depression they're dealing with.
Oh,
anybody
no.
that shaves their head out of
all
nowhere.
Of them?
Like, if you've had hair for a long time and out of nowhere, you're just like shaving my head, you're going through something. And so when somebody does a drastic change like that, I mean, he did the Lego thing with his hair too. It was pretty awesome. But even still, when you do something drastic like that, it's a change and you're craving attention. And then whenever I saw him working out in his loafers, I was like, that's ridiculous too, because who works out in $500,000 loafers? And he definitely is. So I thought, okay, dude's a head case. And the more I've seen out of this, I've slowly learned not only is he a diva narcissist, but he has become a head case. And that's what we're seeing play out in front of us.
Okay, so I kind of put together a timeline based on all the things I saw on Twitter to let you know how quickly the news came out. And so we told you yesterday that he got fined like, I don't know, $53,000 for just ditching out of practice and training camp because of the helmet drama. And then he posted a picture of the fine letter and had this little weird limerick to go with it and all that. So it starts this morning.
Don't make fun of Eric Nadell like that.
I would never.
Limerick.
9:32 a.m., Adam Schefter, the next chapter. Antonio Brown and GM Mike Mayock got into it on Wednesday, and the team is now planning to suspend its star wide receiver.
Also, what, like, they were yelling?
Ooh, I'll give you an update on that in just a second. And the most shocking, calm person ever to break up a fight in sports. Okay, so first of all, what? Like, that's a pretty shocking way to start the day. Yesterday you got Zeke. This morning you get Antonio Brown.
All right,
or not.
Here's something that actually I think is pretty interesting about the dynamic going on in Oakland. Because John Gruden is supposed to be the hammer there, right?
Like, sure.
But Mike Mayock is the general manager. Now, here, we have a very different set of circumstances. Everybody understands that Jerry's the owner. He writes the check. He's the most powerful presence at the star. But Steven is the quote-unquote GM. And he gets to be the bad guy if he wants to because his dad owns the freaking team. He can do whatever he wants. Mike Mayock is a draft guy that came from the NFL Network, right?
Yep.
And does he even have the experience of doing the psychology part, the Jimmy Johnson part of running a team and getting in with these guys and making them understand how important his role is? Or is he just guy that drafts people and he's supposed to try and start disciplining now?
I'll have more for you about Mayock in just a minute.
All right.
That might kind of go a little bit ways to answer your question. Next, 9:57 a.m., Albert Breer. If the Raiders suspend Antonio Brown for conduct detrimental, they'd need to prove a track record of misconduct, which would probably be easy for now. Then the star receiver would default on all his guarantees. That's $30.2 million.
Yikes.
Whoa.
Wow.
But
hold on, they're taking that away from him?
You could, because there's a clause in all the contracts. By the way, just as an aside to the player accountability clause, or whatever the hell it's called, is he could also get suspended for this.
Really?
Yep. Because if
for how long?
I think up to 4 games if you engage in violent, quote, actions against anybody in the organization, which this could be classified by. But now we're talking.
What's a violent action?
Telling
your GM you're going to punch him in the face and then punting a football off?
That wouldn't happen. That doesn't happen.
That did happen.
What are you talking about?
Well.
Sorry, did I expose something too soon?
10:24 a.m.
Marking that, by the way.
Ian Rappaport said Antonio Brown and Mike Mayock yesterday. It did not get physical, sources say. But after a screaming match, Brown told Mayock that he would hit him in the face and then punted the ball and said, "Fine me for that."
Sure.
You might think that's the most amazing part of this story.
Fine these nuts.
Or is it? Not that. Do you know who broke up the fight and kept it from actually getting physical?
Someone reasonable with a good head on their shoulder.
Not really. Vontaze Burfict.
Oh, no.
How many people forgot he was still in football?
I thought he was suspended from the country.
So Vontaze Burfict breaks up the fight between the GM, who's really a draft guy, and the wide receiver who just got there and is on the cusp of losing all his money.
Wow.
And let's talk about that from a perspective beyond simply that guy is Vontaze Burfict, right? Because we know what Vontaze Burfict is. Except he's also Vontaze Burfict who used to play for the Cincinnati Bengals, right? Like the Bengals who used to all sorts of crazy going on with a cheap owner and the head coach that was the head coach forever with no real reason as being the head coach. And all the crazy things that happened in Cincinnati. He's looking at y'all like, "Hey, man, why we need to calm down."
He's copying Taylor Swift.
Well, there actually might be a couple copycat elements coming up in just a second, because I know you're like, well, clearly that's the worst of the situation. Is it? 11:19.
Oh, my gosh. Are you serious?
Ian Rappaport. This is what Mike Mayock said at his press conference, which is amazing. Like, how understated he was. Antonio Brown is not in the building today. He is not going to be practicing. I don't have any more information. I mean, clearly you do. When we do, I'll get it to you. That's it for today. Press conference over.
Wow. Jeez, man.
We continue.
No, we don't.
3:10 p.m.
It's 10 o'clock tonight, Kevin.
So we got a little bit of ways to go. Antonio Brown. We go to Albert Breer. Actually, we start with Will Brinson. It appears Antonio Brown has unfollowed both the Raiders and Derek Carr on Instagram.
Wow, that is just a deep cut.
Welcome to 2019. To which Albert Breer says Antonio Brown is 31 years old. At which point Ian Rappaport jumps in and says, "Oh, please. Mike Garofolo unfollowed me and blocked me, then unblocked me, refollowed in the span of a few hours. We're all 13 years old."
Oh, man. This is becoming a middle school drama.
To which Jane Slater also got involved and
said, "Hell yes.
I've been tempted to unfollow you at times as well." So that's all objectively amazing.
Oh, come on, Jane. Go ahead and do it. Be about it. Don't talk about it. Be about it.
Block him.
That is true. Now, you might be thinking, that's great. I've got the GM's perspective. I've got media perspective. What about a player's perspective on this? Well, unfortunately, I can't take you directly to Antonio Brown. However, 3:23 p.m., Michael Thomas.
What? The wide receiver for the Saints?
Correct. I wouldn't take Mike Mayock too serious either, for the simple fact that he had the nerve to rank 5 guys higher than me coming out of the draft.
Oh, man.
We all know how that worked out. Shrug emoji. Who dat, though? Hashtag let's call a spade a spade.
Jeez. Hold on. Who were the guys that got drafted? Who was drafted?
The 5 receivers ahead of him?
All right, I'm going to go look real quick.
All right, because I do not know the answer to that. 4:01 p.m. Go back to Rappaport. In the least surprising news ever, the Raiders are not planning to have Antonio Brown for week one. It's not clear if it's a suspension or if he'll merely be inactive, but those are the plans. He also will likely stay away from the team, which kind of makes sense.
Seems like that's what he wants to do, though, right? Doesn't it? I mean, it just appears that this is a guy that doesn't want to play, really.
Is it?
That's what that's the feeling that I have.
To answer that, I take you to his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, at 7:48 p.m. I think there's been a lot of speculation. By the way, Drew Rosenhaus also had to say that no, Antonio Brown does not have any mental issues.
Really?
Like, if that's a thing that you have to say, that's, you know, probably a problem. He said, I think there's been a lot of speculation. The reality is that we're still talking through many scenarios. There has yet to be a suspension. Nothing is final yet. I've been in touch with Coach Gruden, Mike Mayock. We're doing our best to work this out, trying to keep this relationship moving in a good direction again. Somebody asked, does he actually want to play for the Raiders? Quote, I believe he does. I can't speak for him. I mean, you just did, but okay. I can't speak for him, but in my conversations with him, he's willing to honor his contract and play for the Raiders.
Wow.
It doesn't sound like he wants to play for the Raiders at all.
By the way, here are the wide receivers taken ahead of Michael Thomas.
I mean, none of them are going to be better.
Corey Coleman.
Nope.
Will Fuller.
Nope.
Josh Doctson.
Nope.
Laquon Treadwell.
Nope.
Sterling Shepard.
Nope.
Michael Thomas.
I mean, to be fair, I thought Laquon Treadwell was going to be freaking awesome, too. So, where do we stand now? It's the personal conduct policy.
Yeah.
It expressly prohibits violent or threatening behavior toward another employee or third party in any workplace. Well, if you say you're going to punch one of your coworkers in the face, that definitely violates that policy.
Says who?
I mean, says the NFL will say that.
Whatever.
And then here's the other problem. Some people have said he could forfeit the rest of his $29.2 million guaranteed. Ha 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 ha. Not quite. He could forfeit another million, which would be all of his guaranteed money. Why? Because he was set to receive $500,000 in workout bonuses for this year and next year. Well, he didn't do any of those workouts, so they pushed the bonus to something else later in the season. Well, if he doesn't ever get to later in the season, he won't get that $500,000. He won't get the other $500,000. And then, if it's conduct detrimental to the team, that could void his contract, thus voiding all guaranteed money, which means that Antonio Brown might not ever play for the Raiders and might not ever get one single dollar from them. It would actually be in the whole $53,000.
All right, so
wait, if he doesn't play a game for them again, they not seeing that money, right? Like, this is like when you go to collections and you're like, all right, good luck. Good luck trying to get that.
I agree, especially because the Raiders are like, yeah, we'll give up that 50 grand because we're saving 30 million. So, yeah, I would be inclined to agree with that. I'm just telling you, like, theoretically, they really want to be jerks about it.
Which I think we honestly have to come back to Mike Mayock and say, like, I think he's handled this fairly well because he has not tried to be a jerk in large part, right? Like,
they've stood by
AB for a while, even though it seemed like it hurt him sometimes. And then ultimately, this fine that they ended up levying, they tried to keep it quiet, which teams typically don't do. Usually that hits the media quick. AB aired that out himself.
I look at situations like the Redskins and places where players just don't want to be. And I'm wondering, you know, because we saw it with Amari Cooper. He thought that their organization was garbage. He thought it was trash. And when he came here, he was like, this is a first-class organization. The way the Cowboys run things is where you want to be. When you're with these kind of teams and you're that kind of a player, do you just kind of go on this, or has he lost it? Has he really just, like, he doesn't know what he wants anymore? All he knows is that he gets attention whenever he says anything. And it doesn't matter, whenever he feels slighted, he's just going to take it out on social media. And then that's his way of speaking.
Honestly, I don't think that's it. I think he was so enamored with the guaranteed money part of it that he would just take it wherever it came. And now that it was time to actually go, he was like kind of dealing with the fact that he was actually going to have to play for the Raiders. And he was looking for a way out and a way he could keep his money. So I think I kind of think he's like constructed this plan to try to force his way out, not realizing that by threatening to punch Mayock, he could have lost $30 million. I don't want to punch anybody $30 million worth. By the way, John Gruden, I'm going to give you the last Twitter word on this, 4:15 per his press conference. I'm not going to get into any of that stuff right now. We'll have an official announcement later. I'm not going to get into all of it. Obviously, he wasn't here today. When we have some information, we'll get it to you. But of course, that's not how the media works. So he had to answer it again. He's not here today. When we have an opportunity to get you some more information, we will. Again, media works. So he said again, we're still getting to the bottom of everything. We'll get you the information on Antonio when we have it official and correct and right. At least one of those words is not necessary. I don't want to speculate about anything. Can't do it. Press conference over.
Man, this what a wild problem Oakland has.
And why did all of this happen after Hard Knocks is over?
No, yeah, and here's the other thing. And I know KT's out there hanging out watching the football game with Jeff.
Take that.
Today, Ben posted that if Oakland is getting rid of Antonio Brown, the Cowboys need to do whatever they can to get him. And I could not disagree.
Yeah, with I'm out
about
on that too.
Anything. As much as I love the talent, this team is too good to mess around. And you heard Jerry say it the other night, Kevin, I'm not messing around.
And the speculation that he ends up with the no more. The speculation that he ends up with the Patriots, I think, is misplaced because he's going to want that guaranteed money back, and they're not giving it all to him.
No way.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, all the reactions from the 100th NFL season opener, plus maybe most handsome coaches in the NFL, next on The Fan.
This segment of the KNC Masterpiece is brought to you by the personal injury team at Frankel & Frankel. Fighting for car and truck wreck victims for over 25 years. That number is 214-333-3333, or you can go online and check them out at frankelfirm.com. Principal office, Dallas, Texas.
It's been 100 years, Kevin, officially, since the NFL has started doing things as an
NFL.
Yeah,
that is how long this game has taken, huh?
Yes, it does feel like tonight's game has taken that long in a 10-3.
Feels like it's from 100 years ago as well, right?
Offensive football slugfest. That's what it feels like. It feels like a soccer match right now.
Okay, you're not wrong about that, because here's my factoid of you for the night. 10-3 right now, the Packers lead. The last time the Packers beat the Bears on the road, scoring 10 or less points, 1932, when they defeated the Bears 2-0.
Wow. That is the greatest game ever played.
I might try to top it later in the show. And the last time the Bears and Packers combined for under 20 points, January 2nd, 2011, where the Packers also won 10-3.
Okay.
So some takeaways from tonight. Mitch Trubisky hasn't been terribly impressive.
Didn't get enough preseason action, I think, is what's going on here.
Would you say the same thing for Aaron Rodgers then, who I just kind of argue that we all need to accept that he's lost a step, maybe more.
I think that he's running a new offense that is trying to be a little more run-friendly first. With Matt LaFleur, and he hates his head coach / offensive coordinator.
That is what he does.
And he's trying to prove to them that it doesn't work their way. And so he's going to like, look, we can lose all you want until you let me run it my way. And then we'll start winning because I'm in control of the football. That is scary, isn't it, to have a quarterback with that much power and that much love with the fan base too, because the fans are your owners. But also that much love from the fan base because, Kevin, they feel like he is the king. He's the one that has led them to all these great things and that can do it because they've seen him do it so many times. So that's what I feel. Whether or not he's lost a step, I don't know, but I feel like he has a lot of power there.
The introduction to the world of David Montgomery has been underwhelming, but then again, most offensive players in this game have been particularly underwhelming. Montgomery, 6 carries for 18 yards and 1 catch for 27 yards. Now, we told you the most money had been bet on David Montgomery to win Rookie of the Year, in part because of the odds that come along with Kyler Murray. So I thought that was interesting. And then for the fantasy people, who scored the only touchdown? Why? It was Jimmy Graham.
Nice.
So
that's really crazy too, man, watching Jimmy Graham play football still the way that he does.
We thought he was done like 4 years ago.
I did, I physically thought he was done, but it looks like he's still got, you know, something with Aaron Rodgers, and it looks pretty good.
And this would be a fascinating way to start the season, because I do believe the Packers were about 5-point underdogs, and so if they're able to hold on and win this game after one of the greatest punts of all time, then that's an upset right out the gate to start this whole thing.
I will say, and Kevin, excuse me if you've already hit on this, but the fact that the Bears do have 3 points tonight is a very big deal.
Because they kicked a field goal?
They kicked a 38-yard field goal. Now, I know that's, 5 yards short of the decisive 43-yarder, but they did kick a 38-yard field goal tonight. And everybody lost their minds when they kicked the field goal. Did you hear the stadium? Freaking nuts because they made a field goal. The entire sideline threw confetti everywhere. It was crazy.
Well, and Eddie Pinheiro, this is his first ever NFL regular season action.
Mm-hmm.
So this is his first kick after the kicker competition of death that broke out all throughout training camp. I don't know any other way to describe it. So that's a big deal for them. What I kind of hope happens now is they drive down, score a touchdown, and then Pinheiro misses the extra point, so they can be like, all right, you're cut. And then they immediately go back to the kicker competition of death.
Now, are we expecting that Sunday is going to be an even bigger celebration of the 100th year? What is the plan for the NFL? Do they have a marketing rollout that they're about to do to really push this in your face and say, hey, we are celebrating this 100th year anniversary?
That's a really good question. I bet it would just be a media blitz, because that's the whole reason. And you'll see the middle of the field has the NFL 100 logo on it. That's the whole reason you get this game tonight, because usually it's the defending Super Bowl champions and they get to host a game and they'll be there at the beginning. But instead, it's the Packers and the Bears, the two oldest franchises in the NFL, and then that's why you're having it, of course, in Chicago. So one of the most storied, like, cities, especially in the early days of the NFL when they were just racking up championships. So that's why it's there. Other than that, celebrations, I don't know. And I would have to look and decide, like, what would be the marquee game to celebrate, because it wouldn't necessarily like be Giants Cowboys. I mean, the Cowboys are a team that joined the NFL 40 years after it started. So I don't know if it would be like Lions Cardinals, because those would be two of the closer to legacy teams that you would see, even though the Cardinals have bounced around a lot. But who the hell wants to celebrate the league at that game?
Absolutely. Yeah, nobody does.
So that's a terrible idea. You know what a great idea, though, is?
To celebrate handsome men.
That's right.
877-881-1053.
Thanks, fellas.
Rank the most handsome men at this station. And I think three of them are in this room right now.
I was counting you and me. Oh, yeah, I appreciate that. We brought in the ringers. We've got KT, Jared, Jeff Kavanaugh, and at least 2/3 of them are excited to celebrate the end of the very first game.
Love it.
Yeah, I'm excited to celebrate that game's over.
This game
was terrible.
Everyone talks about how bad it was, but no one could take their eyes off of it.
No, because it's football, KT.
I can't believe you guys are really going to do this segment that we were joking about hours
ago. What do you mean?
Have you ever heard this show before?
Yeah.
You should have known better.
This is a sports segment. What are you talking about?
It is sports.
We're talking about sports right now.
Yeah.
We were in the conference room earlier tonight, and we started discussing the most handsome coaches, because
sure,
Matt LaFleur is the coach for the Green Bay Packers.
Looks good, too.
And he has fantastic stubble. He has a nice tight haircut as well, and that's the look that we're going with in the NFL. And KT, you started breaking down every division. And I think that's what we're trying to figure out. 877-881-1053. What is the most handsome coach division in the NFL? Because I'm going through the list right now, and I think the most mediocre is the NFC East. I'm looking at the coaches in the NFC East. We got Garrett, we got Shermer, we got Jay Gruden, and then we got Doug Peterson. And that seems mediocre, but not ugly.
But the winner has...
Very average.
It's got to be the NFC West, right? Because they have two of what? The top five most handsome?
You could argue three if you'd like.
Wow.
Are you going... Pete, because when I was at USC, let me tell you something. No, dude, girls love Pete Carroll. They love the gray hair.
How much?
What's that?
How much do they love him?
They love him enough to go to his second house when he was in Southern California with him when he was still married.
What? What?
Wow.
Oh, is this? Do we need to hear this?
This is public. This is public. If it wasn't, then we can dump
Radio.
It.
Radio.com app.
But hold on. Here's the deal, dudes.
Content.
There's something about, like, I don't know what it is, but there's something about, like, the older man who's in good shape, who owns the gray hair, and I think, like, Pete Carroll is definitely a big part of that NFC West.
Well, Pete is bringing up the rear of those four guys.
Yeah, he is.
It
just
is.
Like at that second house.
Yeah. Now, in my estimation, it would be Coach Bro Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah, definitely.
And then
number one.
Overrated.
You can flip a coin on Sean McVay.
McVay's better looking than Kingsbury.
Or Kyle Shanahan. No, you can flip a coin.
I do.
Even with the...
I do.
I don't. I think the deep voice gives Cliff the edge.
He's got a kind of troll vibe.
I think
I'm not
Cliff...
Lie.
The problem with Cliff is he's not going to be for everybody. Cliff, to me, is too frat boy.
No, I heard he could be for everybody.
Well, yeah, I've heard that too. But what I mean is just like when you're too fratty, that's a turnoff to me. And
so
a lot
you don't
of my
like the bro coach?
Me and the ladies, some of my ladies, we don't like.
The lead is, though, you're right, NFC West, because it's Kyle Shanahan, Cliff Kingsbury, Sean McVay, and then Pete Carroll, who is only 10 years younger than Jerry Jones. And he looks like he's 30 years younger.
And if
than
he
Jerry
looks good,
Jones.
Dude.
And if he's your worst,
yeah,
that's pretty good,
I
don't, right?
I think he's By better looking away. Than Kyle Shanahan. I really do.
So hold on.
You're into the old guy.
Jeff,
I like a good mom. I like a good Pete Carroll.
Do you fall in line with the like the kind of older gentleman then with the Harbaugh Tomlin group of the AFC
I do
North?
Like I'm big on Tomlin.
Okay.
In this conversation.
He's one of the leaders in that because
yeah, I'm big on Tomlin.
Exudes power.
Yeah, because there's different kinds of faces. You know, like we were talking about this earlier, like Vrabel.
Strong job.
Not in on that. Like, right. That appears to be a mean-spirited person.
Mm-hmm.
But Tomlin appears to be, like, stern, yet leadership, yet handsome.
How much does the personality impact your take on their looks, then? This is an important question.
On how familiar I am with their personality.
I mean, they're
Garrett's football, personality.
Yeah, they're football coaches, not so they're sex. All going to be meatheads. I'm just kidding. They're well traveled. We can't make the jokes tonight.
No, I mean,
Reggie was talking.
No,
have you heard that?
We just laid out on jokes tonight.
Come on, guys.
I think the AFC North is solid.
All right.
When it comes to the handsome.
What? Where's Bill? Like on a 1 through 32. Where's Bill?
I think the power is intriguing to a lot of the people.
I mean, listen,
the power
his,
though.
His wife, girlfriend, ooh, whatever,
smoking.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but he's Bill Belichick, and his girlfriend's like in her 40s. If he were a hot guy, she'd be in her
20s. Mm, oh, yeah, fair point. That's a good point.
That's a good point.
Criteria matters too. Right?
AFC West is the ugliest, or is it the NFC North? Because the NFC North has, well, LaFleur is an attractive man, but AFC West has Fangio, Andy Reid, Lynn, and Gruden.
Okay, so
Lynn's not bad.
You could argue
I like Andy,
and Gruden's not, you know, for me. But Lynn.
So Jared's into big guys and
that are old.
Andy
so if you're
seems
60
like
and overweight,
to
hit
with.
Jared off.
Zimmer, I like Zimmer because he dips a lot.
And he also once said, hey, look, if this surgery on my eye doesn't go well, just take it off. Just get rid of it. I'll go one-eyed. I'll pirate this
and
thing.
And you know that person wants to be protected. And if a guy's like, just take the eye out, you're not going to mess with him in a
he
fight.
He does have full Joe Biden blood eye right now. Like, his whole eye, it's amazing.
AFC South's pretty bad, too.
I've got them as last
okay.
on my divisions.
All right.
Bill O'Brien's got to be like number 30. Bill O'Brien is, he's not a good looking guy.
He's like Mike Dingus.
Plus he's got the chin.
Yeah, the booty chin is bad.
Looks like a typical dude that's like just kind of grew up in Boston and just kind of lives at the mom's house kind of guy.
He looks like a guy that kind of sucks.
Okay. And then Marone.
Nah.
I mean, come on.
Not enough going on there.
Yeah.
It's not enough there.
I think the you look at the NFC South, do you take, like, they've got some eclectic personalities there with Bruce Arians wearing a taxi cab hat, and Sean Payton used to be a good looking guy.
Yeah, but
kinda
he's put
had a
on
Barney Rubble kind of Baldwin brother type thing going. What's that Baldwin brother's name? The Billy. Big Barney Rubble?
Sean Payton's not unattractive.
Oh, Steven.
Yeah, I think Sean's like a good-looking dude.
He's not unattractive.
Yeah.
He's all
right. I mean, if you're a fan of Mythbusters, you might be in for Bruce Arians because they wear that same hat as that one fella.
Sean Payton does have, when you if you really look at Sean and if you can see past the makeup, that's a heavy drinker.
You wear eyeliner?
That's heavy drinker.
Sean Payton's a heavy drinker.
Really?
He's an NFL coach.
Look closely when they show him. He's a drinker.
I did see that special that he did with Romo.
Sean Payton's a drinker.
All right, so we've established the best and worst looking coaches in the NFL from the 940. What's the best looking show on The Fan? I think we got a number of hosts from the each show, except for the morning show. They're not represented because they're asleep
right
now.
Win anyway.
We really don't have an ugly
it's
show.
Not the morning show.
Good
yeah.
point. That's a good point.
We don't have an ugly show.
But do we have an attractive show?
Lucius is hot.
Man.
Yeah, Lucius is a good looking
not
guy.
Not so bad, Jeff.
Here he's
and then
most
us three,
the
other
show.
Three on the show, I think we're all right.
Yeah Bassett's holding you guys back.
Is he the weak link in the attractiveness level?
Yeah, we would just use his picture like from pre and post with the Rangers.
Okay.
And he's suited up and made up. Doesn't look so angry and
none
bitter.
Of those guys wear the appropriate fitting suit though on those pre and post game shows. They're all either too big or too small.
That's because they're not in their 30s. So they don't know.
They don't know how a suit's supposed to be cut.
Yeah. Right.
Come on, they're on TV.
They need Jesse Holly to dress them.
Look at what people did 15 years ago with suits.
David Schwimmer and
like,
friends.
However they were measured, they were like, yeah, make it 2 inches too big in every direction. So weird.
Sean and RJ kind of look like Mario and Luigi. They kind of got a plumber vibe.
Yeah.
I think they might be my last seed in the attractiveness bracket. Really do.
Our black guys look really good.
Oh,
like
my
Reggie's
Lord.
A good looking guy.
Yeah, Reggie's
a
good
looking hot AF.
Appreciate you guys being
don't forget
in
Jonathan.
Tonight. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
he's,
that's another good looking guy.
I'd bang Sterling.
All right. Well, he's not affiliated directly with any of the shows just yet from the 214. So I just tuned in, and what am I listening to? That is a fair question.
Thanks,
did
guys.
You say
we'll yeah, look forward to
a late night show. We're having fun.
We'll seeing definitely hear that tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
This will be the most highly trafficked Facebook Live ever if we just continue this off air. All right, cut his mic off. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. People always hanging out here like a family. Coming
Jerry Jones,
up next.
10 a.m. tomorrow.
There you go.
Right
would
here
you,
on The
would
Fan.
Would you do that to him? Would you be him?
Coming up next. LeBron supports the fair play bill. How this could change everything or potentially ruin a lot of things. Next on The Fan.
This segment of the KNC Masterpiece is brought to you by Mesquite Mitsubishi. Mesquite Mitsubishi has the brand new Outlander Sport SUV starting at just $16,900. So visit them online at mymitsu.com.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. And how much does an athlete's opinion on political attributes affect the way that you look at that particular political leaning? And if somebody says, hey, you should do this, are you going to pursue it because your favorite athlete has done that or even used his influence? And how much influence does LeBron James have when it comes to a bill like this one? Now, Kevin, he has come out and said that everybody needs to vote for compensating collegiate athletes in California. And I'm very interested in how his influence, because he is an influencer.
Oh, sure.
Whether or not people love him or hate him, he influences things in a very strong way.
He has 43.5 million followers on just Twitter.
And he opened his own school.
Sure.
And I, you know, we've seen Deion Sanders open his own school and where it went, but we also saw, we also see him open that, and it seems like the dude really wants good for people, and that's something that I think everybody can get behind.
Now, the only thing is, though, I'm not sure if LeBron would support it, knowing the possible repercussions to this bill. So the bill is SB 206. It is the Fair Pay to Play Act. So this would be implemented in California. It would prohibit schools in California from taking away scholarships or eligibility from college athletes who use their celebrity to make money. So just of recent note, you think like Zion, Johnny Manziel, people like that, who could have, surely we would all agree, make millions of dollars while they were still in school.
Absolutely.
All right, so this bill would allow them to do so without facing any repercussions from the California schools in terms of like taking away their scholarship, booting them off the team, or anything like that. He followed up by also tweeting out saying, California can change the game. This is only right. Way overdue. Hashtag more than an athlete.
This is a guy that didn't go to college.
It's correct. And the irony of that is not lost on me.
But there's a reason he didn't go to college.
Sure.
A, he was good enough that he didn't have to.
Of course.
The rules were written so he didn't have to. B, he also saw a lot of the corruption that was going on there and how he could, you know, obviously advance himself by going ahead and skipping that group, because the NCAA will screw your career up. They can really screw up your life if they want to.
I mean, just think about, like, seriously, what would have happened if, you know, like Zion, when his shoe exploded, would have torn his ACL, MCL, PCL, and like never gotten that same burst back.
Right.
Like he never would have made, well, theoretically, I'm sure he would have made something, but he never would have made anywhere near as much money. So I want to talk about the first part of this before we can get to the rest of it. And people feel free to jump in 877-881-1053 if you want to do this.
Now you said the repercussions of this bill.
I'm going to tell you that in a second.
Okay.
Because they're going to be heavy. But the first part of it, just not dealing with like what could happen. Do you like this bill?
I like the idea.
Okay.
Because I have agreed that players in college sports should get paid. I don't understand why they don't. There's always been this unsettling feeling about some people making hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars.
Oh, sure.
Off the back of work that's not going paid.
The NCAA absolutely makes billions of dollars.
I also do, like, listen, you fought a long time to get a scholarship. Like, that was a key. Whether or not you use the scholarship for a degree is up to you. But, sure. Like, being a scholarship player is a very big deal. Can you just imagine how many high school students don't get that opportunity, don't get that scholarship, and have to? I had to pay for all my college.
Right.
Well, most of my college. I got a bunch of scholarships because I went and applied for them, but I didn't get an athletic full ride.
Right.
So, like, it's a very meaningful financial good thing for people that don't have those opportunities.
Okay. That being said, then, would your anticipation be that the NCAA would be like, okay, you know, vote however.
Hell no.
All right.
Hell no. They're going to do everything they can to get you to shut up.
Well, word is this is what they're going to do. And I was going to say I find this to be shocking, but I don't know why I find this to be shocking, because there's nothing about this that really is shocking. So here's the word. If California passes this, the NCAA will not stop these players from being able to receive the money. What they would do is stop their teams from being able to ever participate in the NCAA tournament, bowl games, the college football playoff, etc. Damn. So just think about it. Everything you would play for, no longer eligible.
Wow.
That's a bomb.
Oh, and I guess like there are parts of me that are like, okay, that's when the state of California, maybe can they convince other schools to join them to go against it, or not just go against it, but create something new, and can they get the financial backing it takes to create something that is as important as the NCAA tournament or the college football playoff or, you know, whatever, because right now that's important, right? You know, college sports fans think that it's important for you to compete in those things because that's what you're trying to get. You're trying to get that goal.
How many states, or maybe which states, do you think if they got this isn't going to fly anymore. Because I'll make an argument to you just right off the bat.
Three strategically more states.
I have three for you.
Perfect.
Texas.
Yep.
Alabama and North Carolina.
Interesting. I wasn't going to go Alabama, but Texas and North Carolina were absolutely in my mind.
Okay, and so North Carolina makes a lot of sense, like especially in the current sports landscape, because like the two primary college sports that we would all agree matter the most, if not like almost at all, are basketball and football. So if you take out North Carolina for basketball, you take out Duke and North Carolina, that cripples legitimacy. If you take out North Carolina and Alabama and Texas for football, you take out Clemson, or is Clemson South Carolina?
South Carolina.
Okay. Well, you take out Alabama and you take out the University of Texas. And taking out Alabama, I also think cripples the legitimacy from like, you know, a current perspective and a legacy perspective. I think if you got those three teams, to your point, Corey, added with California and obviously like UCLA and USC, then all of a sudden people will take a step back and they're like, okay, cool. So this is your football champion with no USC, Alabama, Texas, or this is your basketball champion with no Duke or North Carolina. Huh. All right.
Yeah. I mean, those are the best teams.
Like, yeah. Catch the fever.
And well, I also question then, is recruiting going to be as good for Duke if Duke isn't competing for that tournament?
And that is the question that I honestly might be most intrigued by, and I would want to get y'all's thoughts. Because, like, let's use Zion for an example. People get it twisted about Zion, and this really kind of irritates me, is they're like, well, Zion didn't even need to go to college. Yeah, yes, he did. Yeah, he absolutely did, because he was the third or fourth best prospect. And I know people like some of his YouTube videos, but Zion mania was not anywhere near the height it was at Duke. And the fact that he was the unquestioned number one draft pick, as opposed to like third or fourth when everybody thought RJ Barrett would unquestionably be number one, that shows like the power of college to a certain extent. And also, he came back because he wanted to win a national championship. So I wonder how some of these players would weigh the fact that you're essentially playing for nothing in terms of championship goal versus you can also get paid now.
Well, when you say that he the power of that squad, that team where he went, right? Like, if he had just played college basketball anywhere,
sure,
it was not the same as playing at Duke,
where I agree.
That was the primary focus for how many months on national platforms like ESPN. But he also brought a lot of value to Duke in the NCAA.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, you're right. You know, places like Duke and USC and Texas are going to be big. The only thing that I would have a question about is those TV partners that are already locked up with the NCAA and, you know, the college football playoff, those, they have those contracts in place. And those contracts run for a certain amount of time. As soon as you back out, you know, a certain set of teams backs out, maybe creates a different league, then what happens when it comes to money and with TV deals? Because, yes, Duke is a big brand, but if they don't have that TV placement, who's going to CBS Sports Network to go and watch the Duke game, right?
I do wonder that. I also view an avenue in which the NCAA will do anything to keep all the money in their pocket. And I bet here's what I think happens. I think that the NCAA cuts some sort of deal with California if this passes.
Oh, they have to, because, well, let me let you finish.
Oh, no. Well, and the deal would be that no money would ever come directly out of the NCAA coffers, and it would be more like an independent contractor style deal. And if that's the case, then the NCAA, I think, can convince themselves, well, now it's inevitable, but we're not losing any of our money directly. Like, indirectly, I think a strong argument can be made. Whereas if Alabama, North Carolina, Duke, UCLA, USC, Texas, Texas A&M drops out of the sports packages, you're going to lose in those TV contracts going forward, and they do not want that.
I wonder if that would even void the TV contracts to go further down a legal.
That's an interesting question.
I don't understand why the NCAA is so against an individual player promoting themselves.
Well, it would be because it puts a dent into the entire argument of amateurism, right? If you are inherently saying, no, this player brings a certain amount of value to our sport, but we're not going to pay them. We're going to let somebody else pay them. Then that opens you up to the argument, well, if they are bringing value, what is the other side of the deal here, right? If they are bringing value, why are you not paying them? And at that point, you can't lean back on this is just amateurism because, no, they're going to get paid to show off. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess that's a pretty good point there. It just seems like we as a country are built on the backbone of you get what you can, right? And
sure.
And it just seems like, hey, I have something that's a quality that people respect or like or want to buy into. Why can't I take advantage of that no matter what age I am? It's weird to me. I can go to college and write for a real newspaper. You know, I can go to college and make money doing things while I'm still in college, but I can't make money off of my personality while I'm there because I play a sport.
It does seem very counterintuitive. Now, Senate Bill 206, clear the state Senate. It's just awaiting a vote by the full California State Assembly. I have not seen a date on when that's going to go down. If passed, it will go into effect January 2023. So you'd have a little bit more than 3 years to figure out the ins and outs of this. And I also wonder if in those 3 years, other states would fast track it to try to be like...
You think Texas would love to be on the... No?
Texas would be at the bottom of the list because of the conservative nature, I think, of this state. So people,
dude, we just did beer to go.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that was pretty epic.
Also, right to work.
Yeah.
That is true.
Plus, now you can get alcohol with your food delivery.
They're just so slow-paced, like, in terms of some of these cutting-edge things. Like, well, not even cutting-edge, but, like, things like gambling and stuff. I think they would drag their feet on this as well. But that is a really interesting question. I want to throw this out real quick before we get to Gridiron. The headline on the Dallas Morning News, it didn't matter who won the high school football game between El Paso, Eastwood, and Plano because hate lost. So they had the game tonight at the Star, rescheduled some. The shooter in El Paso at the Walmart, which was 2.8 miles away from El Paso Eastwood, was a Plano senior graduate. So the fact that these teams were already scheduled to play is an unbelievable coincidence. They did play tonight. Plano senior won 43-28. And as you can guess, there were emotional people all over the place. And if this is a step for their healing, then I think that's fantastic.
Absolutely.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy, where it's not just Antonio Brown. Other elite wide receivers have problems too. Next on The Fan.